Awesome. Well, it is Father's Day, and we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Janice is up here because we are going to tag team this. We're both going to speak this morning, and we're just going to speak to fatherhood. We're going to speak to it from a couple different, perspectives. And we really want to encourage fathers and a father's heart this morning. We want to see all men in here encouraged. And women, there is something for you as well. And so I'd ask that everybody here would just tune into our Father's heart for what He would have for you this morning, to really encourage you and see you pushed forward in your faith. I'm excited, and I believe that this is going to be a good morning for this. So before I go into this too much more, let's pray. And really pray that God would speak to us and that we would be open and ready to receive what He has. Father, we thank You. We thank You that we get to do this. We get to gather together as Your church. And we get to worship and celebrate You together. And we get to have a moment where You get to inspire us. And so, God, we pray that that would happen. We pray that this morning everyone in this room would be inspired. That as we hear words from You out of Your word and out of what You have given to us already, God, we pray that You would encourage us and inspire us to see our world transformed by Your love. And so, God, as we give You these next few moments, we pray that You would speak to us. God, we pray that there would be no distraction in this room. God, those would be distractions of a physical sense of noise and whatever. But God, we pray also that any baggage or any distraction that we may be bringing into this room from our lives from this week, I pray that You would just take those from us so that we can focus on You and what You have for us this morning. So we praise You, we thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning is good. It is Father's Day, and we are going to talk about fatherhood, and we're going to talk about a couple of different perspectives of fatherhood. But in approaching this subject, we do have an understanding. We have an understanding, Janice and I both, that for some of you in this room and for some people that you may know outside of this room, fatherhood and this whole topic can be difficult. You know, we talked about this on Mother's Day and how it can be difficult. I remember a Father's Day quite a while ago now, where it was probably one of the most difficult Sundays of my life, which you'll hear more about in months and years to come, I'm sure. But and so I understand. We understand that this day can be difficult, but there's still reason to celebrate. And we want to push into the celebration of it all. We want to celebrate our Heavenly Father. We want to celebrate our natural fathers. And we want to celebrate our spiritual fathers as well. And so I would ask and I would pray that anybody in here that may have a, not a hard heart, but a broken heart maybe towards this area, I pray that you would just be ministered to this morning. That you would really have a touch from our Father, your Father. As He speaks and as we speak this morning. And so let's press into it and see what He has for us this morning. First, Janice is going to talk.
Good morning. So as most of you probably know, I'm an only child. And as many of you might know, and my dad's actually spoken here before, my dad is George Stratford, and he is our Coastlands Unit Supervisor. So that means I grew up as a PK, pastor's kid, an MK, a missionary's kid, and for a short time, I was both a PK and a principal's kid. My dad was the principal of the, like, Christian school that I was going to. So yeah, I've had a lot of dad time. I have wonderful memories of growing up in the church. It was, like, the church was kind of like my playground. Because dad was often there. After school, I would head over to the church, which is actually just across the parking lot. And I would play secretary because they had an old typewriter that they would use to type the bulletin every week. And so I would get to play with the typewriter. The basement of the church was always this dark space. And so I would get to play secret missions or whatever I wanted to in the basement because it was just an empty space that my imagination could take hold of. I have a memory of one time when I was sick from school. My dad still had to go to work, And he actually rolled out a sleeping bag for me on his office floor. And I spent the afternoon beside his desk as he did his job. And then as a principal, my dad had the wonderful blessing of talking to his daughter, who had actually cheated on a math test. multiplication was always really hard for me, and in our school we had to answer like a whole like page of like multiplication in like under 3 minutes, and I was having a tough time doing this. I kept practicing and practicing, and I was like, I can't get this. So I thought, no one's going to notice if I faintly write the answers to the multiplication questions underneath, and then I can easily get it under 3 minutes. Unfortunately, they did notice, and my dad had to have that awkward conversation with his own daughter for cheating. Yeah, and as I got older, my dad was very gracious. I wouldn't exactly say that I was an unruly teenager. However, there was probably more than one hormonal emotional breakdown that my dad was like, oh great, here we go again. But he was the rock on all those occasions, and he was gracious enough to let me figure it out as I was going along. He was the dad who taught me how to drive a standard stick shift, which if you were to ask him, he has wonderful memories of. he is also the dad who taught me how to change my oil and change my tire. And he was the one that I would call at 6:30 in the morning when I was away at school in Edmonton to be like, Dad, my car won't start again. Every time the phone rang at 6:30 in the morning, my mom would pick it up and directly pass it to my dad, because she knew at that point that those frequent calls were usually something wrong with the car. Maybe if he had taught me how to change my alternator or my starter motor, those early morning calls wouldn't have happened so frequently. He was also the one who then stepped aside, my silly car, when my car broke down in the middle of a blizzard, and a new knight in shining armor came to rescue me. It probably was. Very hard to let go of being the one that he was always my rescuer. And yet he knew when to let go, as I chose the man that I would spend the rest of my life with. When I think of my dad, I know I am loved and that he carried grace abundantly as I stretched my wings and tested my boundaries and found my way to adulthood.
And like Janice, I too had a great dad. I really did. I had a great dad. I wasn't maybe the same type of child as Janice was, but I did have a great dad. My dad worked extremely hard to provide for our family. He worked a lot, but it was, you know, to give us everything that we desired and needed and loved to do. He is amazing and still is absolutely amazing, and I know that he loves me unconditionally. But not only did we have natural dads who were great, I know that both of us had spiritual dads that were absolutely amazing and spoke into us. And for me, one of those people was a pastor, Pastor Scott Gilardi, who encouraged me to begin in ministry. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be in ministry to this day. And so he encouraged me and actually called me out. I had to go to him and tell him I was dumb and that I should have answered the question that he asked me with a yes. Yes, I should be in ministry. Yes, I would love to be a part of it. He called me out And he helped me see what I didn't even see in me. He encouraged me, and he still encourages me from time to time. He'll send a text and stuff like that. But Pastor Scott gave me an opportunity to begin in ministry. And I also spent a ton of time in his office where I'm just, you know, dealing with students or whatever and being like, I don't have a clue what to do in this. Like, what do I do? And he shares and helped me navigate some of those difficult decisions. But it wasn't just time in his office. There was times in his fishing boat, times at his house, times doing coffee where we were just hanging out and I was being shaped for ministry. Pastor Scott taught me how to step out in faith and not wait for something to just be handed to me, but to run and push into what God has for me. He taught me that being comfortable was way less important than seeing the kingdom being advanced. And I didn't have just Pastor Scott. I had a man named Pastor Craig as well, which a lot of you know. Pastor Craig from Horizon Church. He was another person that God used to shape who I am. Another spiritual dad. When I first began in ministry, I never would have believed in a million years that I would be leading a church one day. Never in a million years. I thought, yeah, I'll do youth ministry and God would use me in that area until I can't be used of youth anymore, and then I'll be a volunteer and I don't know, as an usher or something like that. But I never saw it in me to lead a church. I thought that was way beyond what I was capable of. And Pastor Craig called that out of me. He said, everything that you have done up until this moment in life, everything that you have been doing has been shaping you for this, and it's time. And because of him, I was able to step into some things that I never would have before. Pastor Craig was also there for me at two of the most difficult times of my life to walk me through them. One happened before we even moved out to the Comox Valley, but it was only because of Pastor Craig that I was able to walk through a tremendous pain that I had faced, actually that Janice and I had faced, and he helped me see that pain healed through Jesus. It was absolutely amazing. And then also with, a sort of identity crisis that I had a couple years ago as I was coming off the island away from ministry and into the unknown. And Craig helped me see through that my identity is not found in what I do, but whose I am. And so Pastor Craig has been a tremendous, tremendous spiritual father in my life. And it hasn't stopped there. It hasn't stopped because I've gone away from him and now I'm out here. But every once in a while I'll get this text that says, hey, we love you guys. We're cheering you on. Your family here loves you. Go for it. You've got this. And just it's such a huge encouragement to me. And so it's absolutely encouraging. He still encourages me. And yet another spiritual father I have in my life who actually isn't much older than me, I don't think, a couple years maybe. But he's a spiritual father to me, absolutely. His name is Pastor Justin. Pastor Justin has been speaking into my life and ministry since I began in ministry for the most part, a number of years now. And he's the one who helped shape the way that I really look at ministry, the way that I see and navigate it. He taught me, and he was one of the ones that taught me that, you know, the things that I want to do, the things that I think will help and stuff like that, instead of just doing things, make them purposeful and make them do the things that have the most impact and that are the most effective. He was the one that taught me the importance of evaluation, to not run from evaluation, but to really look at that and make sure that what you are doing and who you are becoming is right, and the things that you're doing are the most effective for what you need to do. And he, again, is another person that will send me a text from time to time to just say, hey, man, you've got this. You're doing awesome. We're hearing great stories. We're hearing great testimonies. You're doing so good. And just encourages me. And also in some of the sermon series that we put together, out of the blue, this happened actually, out of the blue, he'll call and just to encourage me and be like, yeah, I've been wrestling with this idea for a sermon series. And then he'll just start talking. And I just start frantically taking notes because it's just gold as he speaks and helps me understand some scriptures and understand how it fits in our context. Even though he's not here, He has the ability to do that. So he speaks into me. And listen, no matter who you are this morning, you have in you a part of your story would be a piece of fatherhood. A piece of your story, a piece of your testimony would be about your father. Whether, unfortunately, your father wasn't the best of fathers, and that piece may not be something that you want to think about or remember right now, or whether you had the best of dads. No matter who you are in this room, a piece of who you are, your identity, and what you have grown to know about yourself is because of your father. Your father has played an important role in helping you become who you are today. And some of you are blessed to have spiritual fathers like me that have spoken into you. Some of you are blessed to have the natural fathers that Janice and I have had that have been able to help raise you up as well.
So, if we look at the Bible, we can see that God is portrayed time and time again as father. We can see that as God's creation, we were designed for fatherhood and to be fathered by God. In the Old Testament, we can see that God created us to be in relationship with him. Deuteronomy 14:1 says, "You are the sons of the Lord your God." In the New Testament, we can see over and over again that God is called Father. In fact, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven," and not just as a term of respect, but as an intimacy term, a reminder of the relationship that was meant to be from the beginning of time. We were designed to be in a father-child relationship with God. And we can see in the story of the prodigal son, the redemption that God desires to bring to our father-child relationship with him that was meant to be from the beginning. We chose to sin, however, and even in our sin, God created a way for us to be redeemed and restored and called sons and daughters again.
And just like we were created to receive in a father-type relationship, we are also created to give in a fatherhood relationship. The Bible is very clear, and we see many different instances in that speak to that. But see, just like we are God, just like God, our heavenly Father, just like he is our father, we are created in his image. And because we are created in his image, we are created to be fathers. Men, we're created to be fathers, mothers, moms, women in here. We are created to be mothers as well in that. God made the family unit, and each one of the roles that is inside of that family unit is so important, but there is something. Just something different about that father's role that is so important. So important. In the family, the father is the one who brings the leadership and the stability and the provision and a model of what it is to be a godly man, so that a young son would be able to know what a godly man is supposed to be like. And so a daughter would know, this is who I'm supposed to seek out as a spouse in a godly man. But man, we aren't just called to be godly natural fathers. We're also called to be spiritual fathers as well. And this is something that we need to really get in this house, I believe, as we are pressing into the future that God has for us. Look at the examples of people who have gone before us in the Bible. There are many different examples, but just to point out a couple, we see Moses to Joshua, we see Eli to Samuel, and even in that one, if you don't know that story, Samuel, I love this picture of fatherhood or this spiritual fatherhood in this. Samuel is hearing from God, an audible voice from God, and he doesn't recognize his voice. He actually starts running to Eli and being like, "Yeah, what's up? You called me? Like, what? Like, you what?" And he's like, "I didn't call. Go to sleep. What are you doing? Go, get out of here." And it goes back and forth till finally Eli realizes, okay, listen, he's hearing from God. Like, go back. And he teaches him to understand God's voice. How perfect of a picture is that for a spiritual father to help to come alongside a young man and say, listen, I'm going to teach you to hear God's voice. How amazing is that? And going on after that, look at Paul and how he raises up Timothy. We get to see like a huge chunk of our New Testament scriptures that speak to that relationship. And there are so many instances in the Bible of spiritual fathers. And God in Psalm 68 verse 5 is called the father to the fatherless. And in that we need to understand being created in his image, we need to come alongside the next generation, the young people that are coming up beside us, underneath us, and see them reach their full potential. It's all about seeing the next generation see and walk into their full potential, but not just the fatherless in natural. Because let me tell you this, I was writing this down and I started to think, listen, I don't want us to omit those, maybe even in this room, that have great fathers and people here and think, you know what, they've got that covered. I don't need to bother there. They've got a great natural dad. I'm just going to seek out. More than that, I desperately want Seth. I'm sure we both desperately want Seth to have spiritual fathers in his life like we have had, that would speak life, that would encourage, that would call out, and just redirect too when he's being an idiot. I know that I had some of those too. You probably not. You were perfect. But but yeah, I had some that had to pretty much just stop. What are you doing? I want people like that for Seth as well. And so we need to look and go beyond the fatherless, the fathered, all of them. We need to see them all. We are created to give in that fatherhood relationship.
Yeah, just speaking on spiritual fathers, they're so important in your lives. And, you know, I had the most amazing relationship with my dad. And I had another really good friend of my dad's, actually, who would be my spiritual father. And, you know, he called me out. He spoke life into me. And Adam actually had to pass his test too to be the man that I married. But
I didn't know I was taking the test.
But yeah, they are very important in our lives. That being said, receiving fatherhood as people, it is a posture of our hearts. Just as God calls us to submit our hearts to him and to his will, we are to submit our hearts to those in father positions in our lives. And this might be hard because not everybody might have had a good relationship or a good experience with your father. However, God has ordained and created that place of fatherhood, and it is special. It is a heavy calling, and just like Adam shared, that they are to be the leader of the household. However, in that submission to them, God has called them to be leaders, but to be godly leaders, and in that they're to love their wives and family like Christ loved the church. And that's a sacrificial love. That's an all-encompassing love. That's not just, I know, an easy, oh yeah, I'm the dad, whatever. But it's a heavy burden. Fathers are called to be the example, to allow children to have a place to root their identity, to place boundaries. And we can even see this in the in Genesis, when God created heaven and earth. He created boundaries for the water. He created boundaries for like day and night. He created boundaries for Adam and Eve. They could have anything in the garden except for one tree. And so that's a godly principle and example for fathers. And consistency and love. Going back to God's call for men to love their families like Christ loved the church. It's a heavy, amazing call that carries a lot of weight. And so as we posture our hearts to receive, that makes carrying that weight a little bit easier.
Yeah, and from the spiritual father side of things, listen, we need to understand that those relationships don't just naturally form, okay? They don't just, like for some, you connect with somebody and yeah, they kind of, you know, naturally go to a place where they form into that, but it's not going to just happen. It's like doing your devotions. It's like becoming a person of prayer. We've talked about it here before. We need to actually seek out those types of relationships with the next generation, with people that, like, and I want us to understand when I say a father, you naturally would look at somebody who is a generation step below you, for sure. But again, remember that I have a spiritual father in my life who is, I think, 2 years older than me. And he is most definitely a spiritual father in my life. And so sometimes it might be somebody who is more spiritually advanced, I guess you could say. And they don't have to be decades older or anything like that. With an understanding that we need to have those types of relationships, you have to be a father. You need to seek out the next generation or that person that you can speak into and that you can like pour yourself out into. And it may be not just one. Maybe for some of you with a high capacity, it may be a half a dozen or more, who knows? But we all, I think, have the responsibility to be speaking into the next generation. And listen, if you're sitting in here this morning, you are more than capable and you are more than able and you need, no matter what age you are, a spiritual father in your life as well. And as I've told spiritual fathers now to seek out those relationships, let me be very clear. In as a son, it is your responsibility to seek out those relationships. It doesn't just happen, and we need to make things a little bit easier for spiritual fathers. One, a lot of them don't think that they have anything to offer. And so as you go to them and say, listen, I need what you have. I need the experience, the wisdom that you've gained. I need help in this. As you do that, they start to see, I have something to offer this next generation. They might not like the same music. They may not like the same pieces of technology, and frustration starts to happen as we use the same technologies. But listen, we need to, as that son side of relationship, go and seek out those types of relationships. Make the first move. Go and ask. Say, hey, listen, can we do coffee? You're not going to go up to somebody and be like, I need you to be my spiritual father. That's just weird, okay? Like, just go get ask for coffee, buy them coffee, and then say, hey, listen, like, how did you get to where you are in life right now? I need to learn. And then just start to talk, okay? That's all it is. It doesn't have to be weird or anything like that. But be ready at any moment for those fatherhood-type relationships, those father-son, in both ways. The beauty of this whole thing is that no matter where you are in the spectrum of life, in age, you have the ability either way. You have the ability to be a son, and you have the ability to be a father. I love the fact that Seth at school has a buddy at school. And in a sense, he has the opportunity in that to be a spiritual guide. It's weird calling him a father, so I'm not going to do it. But a spiritual help, a father-type figure anyways. And just in teaching what he knows, that's what it's all about. And in that, he has the ability as well to definitely seek out fatherhood-type relationships as well. You know, he was really excited this morning because he heard Jax was coming. And he was like, I got to play with Jax. I'll make sure that he's having lots of fun in church and stuff like that. And he loves it when Landon comes because he gets to help out and he gets to be this big brother-type person in Sunday school. And that's what it's about. Seek out those relationships and help people as they are moving forward and moving forward into everything that God has for them. I'm going to invite Marg to come forward as we draw things to a close, but I want us to, for a second, just recap, think about all of this, and imagine what it could look like if we put this into practice. See, imagine if we just postured ourselves to look at fatherhood as a need in our life and not just like, yeah, that'd be cool if it happened, but an actual need in our life, and we sought it out. One, as natural kids with our natural fathers, we are called to honor them, and that's hard sometimes. I get it. It's hard. You know, I have walked through with many different people struggles of what damage has come, what pain has come through the relationship of a father. So I get in that moment, it would be very hard to honor. But in that same place, we get to come to a place where we realize that God, our heavenly Father, is there. No matter if your earthly father has failed you, he won't. He's there, and he'll always be right beside you. Can you imagine what it would be like if we took on the role of fatherhood? As natural fathers, we just understood that our calling in life is first our kids, that we need to see them. As a father in this, if you are in this room as a father, your number one job is your kids. My number one job is not this church. It is Seth, my child. And I try and do everything that I possibly can to father him correctly, to father him the best way that I can. Do I mess up? Yes. Oh my goodness, there are days where I go to Janice and I blew it. I'm the worst father in the world. What do? I don't know what to do. And there are days where I'm like, nailed it. Yes. But man, no matter where we are in that, can you imagine what it would be like? In a natural sense, we just said, you know what? Our kids will know about Jesus. I will make sure, Proverbs 22:5, that I will raise them in the way that they will go. So when they are old, they will not depart from it. Can you imagine what it would look like, church? And can you imagine what, a month ago maybe, we heard a testimony from a young lady who was just living a terrible life, one where she was like thrown out of her house as a teenager, one where she was living in like nothing. She was near homeless. She was going from foster home to foster home. She had this terrible testimony, but the church. She came to church, and in the church, she found family. Church, I said that Sunday when we heard that testimony that we will hear that testimony here. As we understand that we are going to see people from our community coming here that are broken, that are down and out, that are void of hope, that are completely lost and have no concept of hope, no concept of love, no understanding that there is better, that there is more. We are going to have those people coming. And can you imagine, church, what it would be like if they were met with mothers and fathers, with open arms, ready to embrace in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense, that will say, I will come alongside you and I will help you. I will come alongside you and I'll teach you everything I know. I will come alongside you and help you understand the hope that I have in Jesus. Can you imagine, church, what it would be like? Can you imagine the reputation of our church being a church for those that need hope, for those that need love, for those that are down and out? Can you imagine what it would be like to see this next generation just flooding through the doors, looking for those relationships that are going to pull them out of their situations that they're in and are going to lead them to Jesus? Can you imagine what it would be like? I can guarantee you we would see people saved. As people would come in and mothers and fathers would gather around them, love them and support them and lead them to Jesus. I can guarantee you that you yourself, as you step out and say, I will engage in my fatherhood duties, you yourself will grow like never before in the natural sense and the spiritual sense of fatherhood. You will grow as you engage. But imagine the lives that you would speak into as well. The lives that you think right now you have nothing to offer. Can you imagine seeing them never have to walk through that trial that you had to walk through to learn about patience? Can you imagine them never having to walk through that storm of learning humility because you already learned them and you get to show them what it is to walk in humility? Can you imagine what it would be like for you to come alongside a young person and say, listen, this is how you hear the voice of God. This is how you seek Him out in a strong devotional life day after day. Can you imagine what it would be like, church, to see the person that you are pouring yourself out into growing like never before? Man, this place would be alive with just people flooding in. And you would be just alive as you're pouring out. Family, this is all completely possible. And this is what we're called to. If you're a father in this room, I want to pray for you. If you're a mother in this room, we're going to pray for you again. That you would engage both mother and father. Engage in, yes, the natural sense of motherhood and fatherhood, but engage in a spiritual relationship of motherhood and fatherhood. And sons and daughters, that we would pursue those relationships to see our lives changed. Man, I love the fact that we get to learn from the generations who have gone before. I love the fact that we get to step on the ceiling of the generations who have gone before and not have to walk through some of the things that they've walked through because they help us learn not to do those things. It's awesome. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the mothers and the fathers in this room. And this morning we celebrate dads, we celebrate fathers. And God, I pray for each and every single one in this room. We pray that you would just first and foremost bless them. Bless them. And if there's one that would feel discouraged this morning, thinking they've missed it, thinking they've, you know, not done a great job, God, I pray that you would just be with them right now and encourage them. God, I pray that you would give them the boldness and courage to just set that straight today and be that father and be that mother that their child needs today and from here on out. But God, we also press into this other avenue of fatherhood and motherhood, this spiritual side of things. God, give us this new, this fresh understanding of what that looks like so that the generations that are coming up would have ready for them mothers and fathers that would speak into them, that would help shape them and mold them, that would lead them to you. Father, speak to us. Encourage us as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.